when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, all you people out there in the world listening to Blood River Radio. We are so glad you're in today, tonight, whatever, wherever you are, whatever time zone. We have an incredible show, and I know you hear us say that all the time, but this is going to be a unique show. You will not hear one like this we're going to have tonight in any other radio show in the world I know of. And you know how I usually give the prayer? I'm not going to give the prayer. We have a super special guest who's coming on tonight. And not only is he a hardcore Christian, he is a hardcore warrior. We have on two hardcore warriors tonight that are going to pretty much run this show. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Blood River Radio, we pride ourselves, if you go to our website and you read it, we pride ourselves on not just complaining and naming one problem after another for week after week, month after month. We supply solutions. Tonight, we're going to try to supply a practical, the most practical, most legal, most constitutional, most godly solution we can supply you people to, and just in case our government gets rogue, completely off the tracks, and starts putting people into prison. By the way, people... Well, let me say one more thing. You're listening to, I forgot to give the date. My right-hand man told me the date is May the 30th in the year of our Lord 2020. So, now I'm getting ready to introduce two people. I'm going to tell you something else. We have a major general that's going to give the prayer in two languages. We have the one and only Major Nick Glasnovic. He's fought all over the world. He's fought in the Canadian Army. He's fought in the French Foreign Legion. He's been in Desert Shield. He was instrumental in getting the Croatian their independence in the Croatian War of Independence, I think in 1991-1994. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce General Nick Glasnovic, and then I'm going to introduce another warrior who's going to be sitting in and listening with us and helping out. How are you doing, my dear brother General?
Well, Eddie, thank you very much for that introduction, and my sincere greetings to you all, your staff, your honor listeners, and all the veterans especially that have given their lives and for the true American independence, not what we see today from what we see from the media, where the forces of darkness are encroaching not only in America but worldwide.
God bless you, General. General, we have a man on the night. I want to introduce you. He was a combat Marine officer in Vietnam. He's one of my League of the South brothers. You know, you love Southerners. Well, we're talking about hardcore, the prototype Southerner. I call him Mr. Marine James Gene Andrews. General, this is say something, Gene, to the General.
Well, sir, it is an honor to be on the same program with you, and I am standing at attention. I was only a lowly lieutenant, so in the presence of a general, I am at attention, sir, and we welcome you on Blood River Radio, and as I said before, it's certainly an honor to share the program with you and be a guest with you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Rank is really something that I think you cannot be a good general if you're not a good section commander or platoon commander, because all the same principles apply on the lowest tactical level to the highest, so I think soldiers are soldiers wherever they are.
I, too, am saluting, too, General. And, General, before we go any further, I am so excited. People, we have a major general who's fought all over the world. He's a hardcore Christian. He is going to say the prayer in two languages. Well, this has never been done on any radio show I know of this country. Go ahead, General, if you will. Everybody bow your head. The one and only, the Honorable General Nick Glastovic is going to say the prayer for Blood River Radio. Go ahead, General.
Well, I'll start in English, then I'll say the first verses of Our Father in creation, if you permit.
Yes, sir. You're the boss.
Well, again, I God bless you all, your families, all you American patriots. And I think the fight goes on. It's only a different battlefield. And I wish God to give you strength and above all wisdom and strength for the upcoming struggles. And I will just start the Our Father, not all the Our Father, but just in the beginning, because we have to remember the Christian civilization is under assault. So I'll start with Our Father in creation. Отче наш, когось на небесіма. Святі се ім'я Твоє, буди кралівство Твоє, як на небу, так і на землі. Хліб наш свагдашній дай нам зараз, і відпусти нам гріхи наші, як ми відпускаємо дружницям нашим, не веди нас у напаст, розведи нас від зла. Amen. And I said that deliver us from all evil, and I think the rest of your soldiers can carry on. So I'll stop there.
Yes, sir, General. I, too, am saluting, and I will remain at attention this whole show. Also, I have to salute Gene because I was a lowly enlisted man, you know, a medic. But God bless you two people for being known. General, I told the people tonight we're going to do something, you know, practical. As you, I'm sure you know more than I do, that the world, not only the United States, but the world has gone crazy. The United States has gone crazy. We have a out-of-control federal rogue government in Washington, D.C., and me and Sam were talking about this during the week. I said, and Sam said, we'll preface this show on, we're not trying to start a civil war. God forbid. We're not trying to overthrow this government that we have, but we really merely want our people in the United States and hopefully anywhere in the world that are listening to this broadcast, we want to teach them something practical. If the government gets more rogue, if they go completely rogue and they start coming, for instance, we have several governors, more than several, saying that they've got snitches out. And I'm just giving you several examples. And we all know about Waco and Ruby Ridge and the concentration camps they have for the Japanese citizens of World War II. We know all about that. We know all about them forcing the homosexuals in, reading bedtime stories to our children in the public school system. We all know about that. But now, they're saying they've shut the entire government of the world down. They've shut the industry down. The United States is suffering the greatest. I'm giving the background, people, while we're doing this. The United States has suffered the greatest economic setback, I've been told, since the Great Depression, maybe even worse. The employment figures are off the scale. Governors are threatening to come around at gunpoint to force people to be tested for the coronavirus. And if they test positive, they're going to be forced to take the vaccines. They can even take their children and send the children to concentration camps. The governor of Washington State, he's actually started. His name is Jay Inslee. I'm kid you not, people, look this up. He started building concentration camps. So when we come back, we'll get started again, folks. Hang on to your seat.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Well, people, welcome back. I'm so excited about this show. As we were saying before the break, I'm trying to throw up a background of why we need to, what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about reconstituting the constitutional militia of the several states. It's been outlined in the Constitution of the United States. It's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, and there's full chapters on it in the Federalist Papers. These people, they wrote the, you talk about Jefferson, John Jay, first Supreme Court Justice, you know, of the United States Supreme Court back in 1789. I think they know a thing or two about the Constitution. They talked about the militia. And we're going to tell you why we have to reconstitute this militia. We're going to tell you how. The general is going to tell us all about it. But just a little bit more background. They're already putting our people in prison illegally, a.k.a. Charlottesville. We have 18 and 20-year-olds that have been thrown into prison for merely defending themselves against the rogue, thug, out-of-control state government of Virginia. It happens every day. They're coming around, like I mentioned before the break, they're saying that they're going to force inoculate us with these untested vaccines against our will. And if you resist, you can even be killed. I mean, the governor of Michigan has said they can shoot people that have come out of the stores with charcoal and fertilizer, unnecessary items, when she said they're going to quarantine them. And I mentioned just a minute ago, the governor of Washington State, you need to go research this, people. They're building concentration camps for people like you that do not want to take this stinking vaccine. And it can get much worse. When they come around and they start confiscating your food and they start confiscating your weapons and they start taking your daughters and your wives off to you know where, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to tell you what you can do legally. And we're going to start with the general. General, I'll ask you, I don't know if I should start. Maybe I should start. General, how did you do it in Croatia? I know you in Croatia, y'all were fighting against tanks and artillery and stuff with just hunting rifles.
Eddie, what happened was, there may be a parallel in the United States. What happened was, in the former Yugoslavia, was an artificial communist creation. It was a failed experiment, a one-party state, similar to every communist state. We see the same thing in China today. One-fifth of the world population today is still under communism. But in the beginning, what happened was that the federal government, which was stationed in Belgrade, they controlled the army, and the first thing that they did was they disarmed all of the territorial militias in the other republics. They took their weapons, all the heavy weapons, so there was nothing left in the armories. So we had no heavy weapons. We basically started with hunting rifles, small arms. We had no munitions factories. But what we did eventually is we started to encircle isolated garrisons and take weapons from them. And that's how we started arming in the beginning. Plus, we were lucky enough to have a Croatian diaspora in America, in Argentina, that shipped us munition, because in war, munition is probably the most precious material. Because, as you know, that without munitions, and eventually we formed four guards brigades, more militia companies. It's called Domobran, volunteer units. But then the war began in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and we had two enemies. We had the Serbian Unitarianism, the Federal Army, and we had the Mujahideen, which we fought in Bosnia and Herzegovina, because that's where they, foreign volunteers from Afghanistan came from Northern Africa, from Iraq, from Iran, to fight Saudi Arabia, to fight against the Croatian minority in Bosnia. So the war was also there. And the war lasted from 1991 till 1995.
Yes, sir. You know, in the beginning, General, you can pretty much explain to me, and you gave us some, you've given me some ideas too. So what you're saying, like in this country, to relate what you said, when y'all surrounded these isolated garrisons of enemy soldiers and confiscated their weapons. I know Gene's thinking the same thing I am. We have these weekend warriors called the National Guard.
Yeah, we took
Go ahead, General.
Yeah, we took the arsenals by force. And we started arming. We started to arm gradually. And that's, I think, had we not done that, we would have been exterminated. And we'd have another Yugoslavia. Because I think that you mentioned at the beginning a new world government. Basically, the former communists here, we made a mistake because we do not get rid of these old cadres. They cannot change their mindset and the destruction that the communist regime inflicted on their mindset, their morals and their habits. They cannot change. After a certain time, they don't change. And we got rid of the external enemy, but the internal enemy, to some extent, remained. They remained in politics, the secret services, the armed forces, say the army, navy, air force. So again, we're fighting a new fight now, which we did not finish. The other post-communist countries more or less finished. They passed lustration laws to get rid of all these old cadres. But in Germany, to a certain extent, Germany we know is culturally occupied. It's occupied in a proud country, but to some extent, they got rid of the Stasi, the former secret police which was the most organized secret police in Europe, with the Stasi, these German police. They cannot be public service anymore. They cannot teach. They can, they can practice private business, but they cannot be in government at any level in government. But I think the important thing is to know that what's happening in America, in Europe, worldwide, it's a global fight. I would say Bolshevik Satanism, because this is we see it in culture, we see it in media. You have a media filter where Orwell, I think, is the ministry of truth, where the lie becomes the truth and the truth the lie. So I think above all Christians. There were some terrible wars in Europe, the 30 Years' War, between Christians, Catholics, and Protestants, but we have to put that aside. We have a common European background, and it's important that we have the spirit of discernment to know the enemy and his tactics. I think this is very important.
Yes, sir. You know, what you just described, a lot of people, general in this country here, will call it the enemies within. We call it the deep state. We have the with the CIA, the rogue CIA, who probably helped murder John Fitzgerald Kennedy because he wanted to get the United States out of the war in Indochina, Vietnam War, et cetera. We have the NSA, which is even larger and more intrusive than the CIA, I've been told. I don't know. And we have these people, general, just like you said, the little, I guess you call them little apparatchiks in all areas of the government here.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Go ahead, General.
It's basically, I think, in America, we still have the remains of our socialist bureaucracy. And in all post-communist countries, to a lesser or greater extent, these cadres remain. I think in the United States, you're also fighting, we have a deep state here. You know, of course, you know the terminology, deep fakes, deep state, fake news. But as I say, it's a global fight, and it's basically a fight, what Dostoevsky said, I think I mentioned this before. It's also an individual fight against the culture of death, which a certain minority in the United States is propagating. Which I think they own, the investment banks. The investment banks, I think.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned the matter.
We're going to a
taxpayer paid. Yeah.
We got to go to a quick break, General. When we come back, we'll start talking about that again, the Bolshevik Satanists, and that's exactly what they are. And they are worldwide. It has to be fought worldwide. People, hang on. We'll be right back to the General. Hang on.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump expected to unveil new actions against China today, tweeting one word about his plan this morning, China, in all caps. The LA Times says he's likely to focus on Beijing's crackdown on Hong Kong by imposing some relatively mild new sanctions. A State Department official, Morgan Artigas, says things have changed now that China's made it clear Hong Kong isn't autonomous.
And this is just a complete rejection of the basic law that China agreed to, not only to Hong Kong into 1997, but I would remind everyone that this was a UN agreement.
She spoke on Fox News. Violence escalating in the streets of Minneapolis during a third night of protests of the death of an unarmed black man while in police custody Monday. Last night, protesters not only clashed with police, but ended up setting a police station on fire, burning several other nearby buildings as well. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I like the product very much. I wake up in the morning, I'm wide awake, and I'm raring to go. I'm almost 76, and I'm working two different property management companies 6 days a week, and I was really, really dragging. I mean, I could barely get myself to work. And it all culminated when I started taking Balance of Nature. It didn't happen right away. I had to take it for a little while. And all of a sudden, I just made a mental note, hey, I'm feeling better. And I am, so I really like this product.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Some economic numbers from April in, and worse than analysts expected. The personal income and spending numbers both dropped. When it comes to personal spending, it fell by 13.6%, largely because of the pandemic. President Trump is targeting Twitter and other social media companies with a new executive order, alleging they engage in censorship and bias.
We're here today to defend free speech from one of the gravest dangers it has faced in American history.
Trump remains angry about Twitter fact-checking his recent tweets about mail-in voting and alleged voter fraud. He says his executive order deals with one of the greatest threats to free speech. The executive order will likely be challenged in court. And the Trump-Twitter feud is only heating up this morning after Twitter labeled a tweet of his from last night as glorifying violence, referring to the situation in Minneapolis. Trump tweeted that when the looting starts, so does the shooting. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, people, we're coming right back. And before we go to the general, I want to go to Gene. Would you have anything you'd like to ask the general or anything you'd like to add at this time?
No, sir. What I would like to do is let him go ahead and explain the organization of these militia units, how it is legal. It's defined under the Constitution of the United States that they are legal. And how did he get that started in Croatia, and what did they do? And I heard you talk a little bit about obtaining weapons from the enemy. Kind of reminds us of our own General Forrest. The Confederate government couldn't supply him with the equipment and weapons they needed, so they just went after the enemy and took them from the Yankees. So you go back to history and find out how other partisan operations worked and what they did. We're not at war with the United States government right now yet, but there are supplies out there to be had. So I'll let the general go ahead and explain how they got that, some of the details of what they did in Croatia and how they got that started.
Excellent, Gene. Excellent.
Well, thank you very much. I think you have parallels in history. We basically attacked their stores, the warehouses, and that's how we started to arm in the beginning. They didn't expect this. Even they had, I think, you have the siege of Vukovar, where I think less than 2,000 defenders held off for 3 months. Armored forces, artillery. I think they were bombed in a low kiloton range from the air from artillery, and they inflicted casualties because it was mostly house-to-house fighting streak where armor does not have much of an effect. But the town eventually fell, but that's where the JNA, the National Army, broke its teeth. And it gave us time, those 3 months, to arm. But at the same time, we were attacking warehouses and taking weapons. But I think that it would be wise to remember that every organization or army has three basic components. Is numbers, strength, equipment, and training. So we have to very often, especially in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where the Mujahideen outnumbered us in some places 6-7 to 1. It was hilly terrain. We had to have highly mobile units. And if we had, I installed two basic training centers, and we were lucky to have Croatians. We had quite a few Croatians in the French Foreign Legion. They came, and then also I opened the door to foreign volunteers. I had, for example, in my platoon, people from the 82nd Airborne. They came in from the South African Army, and I used them as training staff, and they eventually fought. I had my 2IC was a German. He was killed fighting against the Mujahideen in central Bosnia. There was no one in my brigade staff that was not killed or wounded. So you basically have to lead by example. You have two types of leadership. Do as I say or do as I do. And in that type of war, you have to show your stuff. My 2IC, Jürgen Schmidt, he was killed. Michal Sudovic, I was with him in the Foreign Legion. He showed up. And Andreas Kolb, some of these were members of the German NPD party. And I asked one person why he came to fight here. And he said, I've come to fight on the borders of the Holy Roman Empire.
Wow. That's magnificent. Gene, you have anything further to say?
Well, I think he brought up some interesting points there. This is not just theory. It's going on all over the world, and the white people in South Africa are having to cut out enclaves to live, to store ammunition, to store diesel fuel. That country is completely falling apart. The African National Congress, the communists there under the African National Congress have already said they've passed laws that they are going to make it legal to take all the farmland away from the white farmers. And it's suicide because that's what they did in Rhodesia. And then they couldn't figure out after they stole all the livestock and the farm produce from the farmers why they were starving the next year. Like the cattle were going to reproduce on their own and crops were just going to automatically spring up out of the ground. So you're dealing with a class of people that are very low in intelligence, very susceptible to being, manipulated, and cannot see down the road to protect their own livelihood, that they live for today. And whatever they can get today, that's fine, and they'll worry about tomorrow or next year when the time comes. And that's not how a society survives. And so, ironically enough, we're having riots break out all over the country this week because of these people that just, when something doesn't go their way, the first thing they do is take to the streets, and in total insanity, they burn down their own neighborhoods and their own stores and areas in their own neighborhood, and then can't understand why businesses won't come back in there and rebuild and restore their neighborhood for us. So I think the idea of militias and people that are organized and trained, as the general said, that's very important. You can have all the weapons in the world, but if you don't know which end of the tube the round comes out of, it's not going to do you much good. But well-trained, they don't have to be marching through the streets. They don't have to go, you know, attack the state capitol or anything like that. But people need to be prepared because it just historically, it's going to get a lot worse in this country before it gets better. So I'll throw it back to y'all.
General, I'd like to ask a question, too. You mentioned the old holdover hardcore communists that can never change their mind, never will change their mind, probably because they're infected with that Bushelvik Satanist bug that you mentioned. General, how many of these hardcore communist leftovers are still in the state apparatus in Croatia today? Did I hear you right? You said there's still quite a few of them in the apparatus there in the government? Gene, I think the government. Gene, we've lost the general for a second, so until he comes back, you and I will carry on. Okay, I think the general said that they still had some of the hardcore communist apparatchiks left in their government. So, and I think the point I would take, well, he said from that, we have them not just left over in our government. Gene, I would say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I would say, especially at the of the general back. Okay, General, General, how many?
Yeah.
Go ahead, General.
I heard your question. Yeah, we made a mistake because we when we fought the war, we did not think through the end state till the end, what would happen after the war. And I remember, if it was today, an American colonel, Mike Peck, was here training in the war in Bosnia. We had a training mission. And he said, when the war is over, think of who's going to be back in power. And sure enough, we didn't think this through. Hello?
That's a great point, General. That's a fantastic point.
Yeah.
And and I hope our people...
Remember this. This was 1992. And 10 years later, he was right because he was a Vietnam veteran. I was fairly highly decorated. From what I know, he was a colonel in the 82nd. I think the 82nd Rangers, I believe. So he had experience. And I also had people there from Rhodesia, Rhodesian SAS. He was also American. He was killed in Sierra Leone later. Was Bob McKenzie. And we had a lot of experience from other armies. So we had a fairly good base to train. The equipment came later, but the basic thing is training. And safety is also vital because even in war, you can have accidents. If you look at the Korean War, see how many Americans died from traffic accidents. A very high percentage. In every war, deaths are not only from the bullet and the bomb, but from other causes.
You know, General, the now deceased David S. Hackworth, he was legendary. He got a battlefield commission when he was about 16 in Korea. And later, he was the youngest captain in Korea. He was the youngest full colonel, American full colonel in Vietnam. He once said that he probably upwards of 20 to 25% of the casualties in Vietnam were from under-trained soldiers, shooting other soldiers. And of course you have the Air Force dropping the napalm in the wrong places and burning their own troops. That I can see, you know, And of course, he got roasted alive by the when he went to the media and ratted out the United States Army about that. He was forced to retire, you know, or get court-martialed. But General, how long did your training last? I'm sure some people had various levels of experience. Soldiers coming in, say for instance, you had some guy coming in from a farmer who had never hunted, fished, wasn't really an outdoorsy guy. If y'all had some of those, how long did it take y'all to get them up to speed where they could operate in the field?
Well, see, I think one thing you'll never have in war is you never have enough logistics and enough time. But we had crash courses. I formed two training centers for basic training.
Yes, sir. Hold on to that thought, General. We got to go to another break. Hold on to that thought. We'll come right back to that after this break.
Will do.
See you. We'll be right back to the General, people, in just a minute. And with and this Mr. Marine jeans. Be right back, folks.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Okay, people, we're right back. I believe this is probably the last segment of this hour, but don't fret. We have another hour after this. General, we were talking about, I had asked you before we went to the break, about how long would it take to get... just an average green fellow coming in as a recruit, as a draftee, trained. Most of y'all, you had volunteers, looks like. How long would it take them to get them proficient enough to operate in the field, General?
Well, I think basically, Eddie, is that you have to first train the trainer. when you have enough trainers, a ratio from one trainer, 10 men is fairly good. And first you have to start with weapon safety. You have three, I think every infantryman is a component, as you know. I think this is the gospel rule in every army. It's a component of tactical, technical knowledge and fitness. Because we were humping over terrain, I think that 600, 700, 900 meters with a combat load. And every 300 meters, if you're under fire, it's going to take a lot more than an hour. So I think if you concentrate on those three tactics, of course, first weapon safety, then tactics, technical knowledge, meaning weapons, and terrain equipment to NVDs and so on and so forth, and physical fitness. Those are the three basic components. But I think, as you mentioned, I think weapon safety is paramount. And if you have good trainers, then you can go on. Of course, you have first individual training. Then you carry on to fire teams and so on and so forth. And I was lucky to have people that at the end we had the battalion size exercise. So I was lucky to have people that would form our armies. And I think we did a fairly credible job.
Yes, sir. I know Gene is familiar because Gene's an old Southern boy. You know, I've been in the hunting and fishing. When I was 5 years old, I got my first gun when I was 9. It was a little 22 rifle. Got my first shotgun when I was 11. I could shoot the apple off the Kaiser's head when I was 8 years old. Now, Gene, in the Marines, and this is a question that relates to what the general just said. You were a Marine combat officer. I don't think you were ever a drill instructor, but in the Marines, no. I'm sure y'all probably, your people were already young, probably already had a good level of fitness. About how long did it take, do you think, to get a basic Marine ready to go into the field safely?
Boot camp, just for people right off the street, started out 16 weeks during Vietnam. They cut it down to 12. Then they would go to ITR, Infantry Training Regiment. Boot camp was more or less just to get them out of a civilian mindset and into a military mindset and eliminate the people that just shouldn't be in the military, period. Then once they got that taken care of, then they went to ITR, Infantry Training Regiment, where they really got into operation of different types of weapons. We started out with the M14 and went to the M16 and then teaching basics in automatic weapons, M60 machine guns, that sort of thing. And then after that, those individuals were ready to go to a rifle company. Other people then were selected out of that to go to artillery school, to tanks. I went to engineer school at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, at the Marine base there. So then that school that I went to was another 6 weeks there and went through a lot of heavy equipment operation, figuring out load stress on bridges, things like that, demolitions, so that when you got into combat, you didn't blow yourself up with your own C4 and blasting caps. So, but the point being also, though, that training went on even when we were in country in Vietnam, because you never wanted to assume that somebody knew something that could endanger them or endanger other people in the platoon. So it's just like the general said, you have to have good teachers or good instructors to train people and make sure that that training is continuous, because I'm sure the situation he was in, the enemy changes their tactics from day to day and week to week. And so you have to be up to speed on what they're doing and what type of equipment they're using, or mines or booby traps or things like that. So the training is continuous. That's not just something you get out of boot camp, you get out of RTR and say, well, that's all behind me, I don't have to fool with that anymore. No, you do that for survival. It's ongoing.
You know, Gene and General, I mentioned earlier, I think Colonel David S. Heckworth, the youngest full colonel of Vietnam. He was in Vietnam quite a while before he made colonel. He was considered the best battalion commander the United States Army had, if ever had, you know, he was a legend in Vietnam. But he said he was he pushed his men so hard, even when they were like in the rear, train. He pushed them so hard. I don't know if it's true, but the scuttlebutt is that his own troops had a $3,500 hit placed on his head because they just hated him because he was so hard on them. But in the end, though, he had a higher rate of survival, one of the lowest casualty rates in the Vietnam. So back to you, General, about, I know you probably couldn't possibly know this. What was the self-inflicted, the casualty rate in the beginning of the war of Bosnia? As it progressed, did your people get better, more proficient in handling their weapons safely, more proficient in their tactics? About how long did it take them to come together as a fully operational, smooth operating, battle hardened group? That's not too hard a question.
Soldiers, you're both soldiers, and I think we have. You mentioned training. Our veteran here, our friend here that was in Vietnam. But we had, for example, I was in three different armies, and I saw three different approaches. But this was a totally different approach. We had, as I mentioned, you never get enough time, you never get enough sleep. But I think that we had to do everything ad hoc. So we were running against, fighting against the clock, because we were reacting to things that were happening. Instead of being ready, because we never had enough time to train, we did this concurrently with the situation. Situational awareness was fairly high, but we had no time sometimes for long training. But for example, in the Canadian Army, 11 weeks was basic training, basically to turn you from a civilian to as a Marine Corps trainer. I believe was 18 weeks, I heard, and was cut down to 12. But then it went to advanced infantry training, was 6 months. In the Legion, we first had a very high administration filter, admin, to see psych tests, people who weeded out. Then we went to the regiment, basic training was 4 months. Then we went to the regiment. And soon after we graduated, we were sent straight to the Gulf. So I was in the first Gulf War. So, but the basic, wow. It's all, as I said, the three components is training, equipment, and strength. But I think it all boils down to every organization, whether it's civilian, business, or army, is an organization that pushes the training initiative and leadership to the lowest level. And the reason why the JNA failed, and they were more heavily armed, they outgunned us, but they never had an NCO cadre. They never had their second. Their platoon commander was a kid from basic training. So there was no platoon sergeant. So that's why they failed. They never had that leadership at the lowest level. And I'd like to mention before I forget that Seema Murphy was here last year, a South African lobbyist for, we know what's happening in South Africa.
Yes, sir.
These African despots. Yeah, well, we see exactly, not to get off the topic here, we see a different class of civilization. We see African despots corrupt. We see ritual cannibalism, rape of children, and these are basically dysfunctional countries. And I had people from Rhodesia in my unit, and we saw what happened to Rhodesia, what's happened to South Africa. So there's always a lesson to be learned. And I'll conclude with this, that we're definitely not seeing just a battle against the Luciferian, Bolshevik Satanism. As Marx was a Luciferian, we're also seeing a clash of civilizations that Huntington wrote about.
Exactly. You know, my great friend, Dr. Stanley Monteith, used to pound that in my head. He was my friend. He had a radio show long before I even thought I would have one. He's rest his soul. He'd be about 90 years old now. But he always said that. He said, never, ever forget. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He said, our fight is against Satan himself. Like you so excellently phrased it, General. Luciferian, Bolshevik, Satanist scumbags. We're getting ready to go to a break any second now. Gene, before we go to the break, would you like to say something? Tune in. And by the way, people, General, you can hang on for another hour, right?
I'm at your disposal. Fire away.
Yes. Great. We're getting ready to go to a fairly long break. You'll have time to go to the restroom, get your coffee, whatever. We'll be going to a break any minute. We're going to transition over to the second hour, and you and Gene both stay. Gene, General, God bless you guys. Please hang on. We're going to return the second hour with these two great guests. See you in a few minutes.